ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Can he do it or not? This is a car crash. And people will watch it, because that's what people do at car crashes. And that's what this is.
British boxing promoter Frank Warren summing up the broad reaction to the news that YouTuber Jake Paul will fight ex-heavyweight world champion Anthony Joshua. It's a made-for-Netflix event. Lots of people will watch. Both men will get exceedingly rich. Paul knows how to draw a crowd, and his fight with 58-year-old Mike Tyson broke all kinds of records on the international streamer. But you got to wonder whether Joshua will break him. Neither need the money at this point, as big as the payday will be. So why is this happening? And has celebrity boxing just gone too far? I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Simon Smale is the ABC's boxing writer. He's here to talk about Jake Paul v. Anthony Joshua. Start with the details for us, Simon. When is this happening? What are the specifications? Break it down.
I mean, even you saying that out loud, Stacky, makes me just, my eyes widen and my ears sort of question what I've just heard, because it's bizarre in every possible way. It's bizarre. For those that don't know, Jake Paul has, obviously he's a YouTuber and he's developed this sort of social media following. Millions of people follow him because they either love or hate him. But he has always had a love of boxing, and he has cultivated a little bit of a career in boxing. He's fought 13 times professionally. He's won 12 of those fights, mostly at cruiserweight. So that's a weight limit of about 90 kilos. He has fought once at heavyweight, though. That was against someone that, even if you're not a boxing fan, you've probably heard of, Mike Tyson, and he did beat him.
Declaring your winner by unanimous decision, Jake Elgato Paul!
The caveat, of course, being that Mike Tyson was 58 years old when Jake Paul fought him in what was a real farcical fight. That took place on Netflix. That was the first boxing event to take place on Netflix, and it was enormous. Over 100 million people were watching it, the most streamed sporting event of in history. It earned everyone involved an awful lot of money. Now, Anthony Joshua, for those who aren't particularly big boxing fans, is a bit of a modern legend in boxing, heavyweight boxing. So that's the unlimited weight category. He won the super heavyweight gold as an amateur for Great Britain at the London 2012 Olympics. He then went on to have a very, very impressive professional career that's still ongoing. He won 28 times. He has had 25 knockouts in that time. He's a two-time unified heavyweight champion of the world.
Third knockdown of the fight for Anthony Joshua. Right hand, and down goes Pulev, and that's it.
And there is your ferocious finish.
The count is on. And they get to 10, and Anthony Joshua has an emphatic knockout win.
He lost last time out as well against Daniel Dubois, a bit of a disappointing defeat for him, but really put him on the back burner. But he's looking to get back into big-time fights over the next year or so. He has been heavily hinting at a fight against fellow Brit Tyson Fury, who's another former world champion. Instead, almost out of the blue, we have got this fight between him and Jake Paul. Now, Jake Paul has been trying to keep busy. He's actually been trying to fight a few different people, including Gervonta Davis, who is a former lightweight world champion. So that in itself is completely bizarre. Obviously, the weight tables have been kind of reversed a little bit with Anthony Joshua. So this is where we're at. We've got this event. It's happening in Miami in December, December 19th. So it'll be December 20th in Australia. It's going to be a proper boxing match at a catch weight, admittedly. 111 kilos is the catch weight. So normally heavyweights don't have a limit at all. It's going to be 8 rounds, 3 minutes each. They're going to use the standard 10-ounce gloves. I don't know how to feel about it. Well, I do know how to feel about it. I don't think it's a good idea, but I'm sure a lot of people are going to watch it.
More on that in a moment. How much money is at stake?
An enormous amount of money. I don't think we can even begin to guess how much money they're going to earn from this. The first boxing match that took place in a Netflix scenario earned both Jake Paul and Mike Tyson tens of millions of dollars. The number that I've heard being bandied around, and this might just be sort of an arbitrary sort of value, has been 50 million for Jake Paul. I can believe that because that's the sort of money that we're talking about for these mammoth, monstrous events. And the reason they can get so much money is because of the interest. That Mike Tyson fight had 65 million concurrent streams at a time, averaging about 108 million viewers worldwide. It was the most watched Netflix program across something like 26 different countries. It's just enormous. This is the sort of era that boxing was enjoying during the 70s and 80s. Like him or loathe him from any sort of perspective, particularly from a boxing perspective, Jake Paul is getting eyeballs back on the sport. The question you have to be is at what cost?
The reaction has been about what you would expect. Ex-boxer David Haye has warned that death is on the table.
If Jake Paul is left, you know, up against the ropes with Anthony Joshua unloading on him, it could be the end for him, literally. It could be his last day on earth.
UFC boss Dana White, a lover of audience generation at any cost, thinks it's a bad idea.
Oh, Jesus. That's a f***ing bad idea. That's a bad idea. But let me tell you what, a lot of people watch that one.
I mean, consensus is really rare in sport, in any really field, I guess, in 2025. We might be close on this one. Does anyone seem to think this is a good idea? Why is this happening?
I once got told that if you need to ask that question when it comes to sport, the first thing you should think of is money. And that is the simple reason. Anthony Joshua gets nothing out of this, other than the fact that it gets him an enormous payday and potentially some time in the ring ahead of what could be a super fight from the UK perspective anyway, against Tyson Fury. What value this time in the ring will be is anyone's guess. Boxers like to keep active. Anthony Joshua hasn't fought in 19 months since his last fight. I don't think it necessarily tarnishes his legacy by having the fight. Again, eyeballs on the sport, I think there's probably an argument to say that that's going to improve. The fighters on the undercard, absolutely, they're going to love this because they're going to get an extra slice of the pie as well, considering how many people are going to be watching them, and that gives a little bit more interest in what they're doing and their careers. There's a great quote about boxing. It's a sport you don't play. You play golf, you play tennis, you play football. You don't play boxing. And that's because it is an absurdly dangerous sport. I mean, especially with what we know about concussions and long-term impact of getting repeatedly smacked in the head. That's almost an aside from what can actually happen immediately in the ring. You don't even have to go that far back to look at some really horrific situations happening where fighters have died in the ring. Shigetoshi Katari and Hiroshima Urakawa both died in the ring in Japan in August this year. Boxing is dangerous. Anthony Joshua is an enormous man. He is 6'4" tall, is 198 centimetres, I think. He is just a huge, powerful man.
Even if AJ had a broken arm in there, it still wouldn't go past a minute. To be quite honest with you, and as a safety aspect, there's no way that fight can go ahead.
He can do some real damage. Even Alexander Usyk, who beat him, was really feeling the punches that Anthony Joshua was laying onto him. If Anthony Joshua can hit Jake Paul flush on the chin or on the head, I really shudder to think, and I think this is getting very, very, very dangerous. I thought the Mike Tyson fight was dangerous enough. I think this is just as dangerous. We fortunately got away with it, to be honest, with Mike Tyson, because Jake Paul looked like he potentially backed off a little bit once he realised that Mike Tyson just wasn't anything like the ability that he used to have. I don't think Anthony Joshua, given that he's an active fighter and is still chasing big fights, can actually afford to hold back anything, because a defeat for him would be absolutely catastrophic. So he's going to need to win. The easiest way to win is to knock somebody out. It makes me very nervous, and I know I'm not the only one.
I'm interested in what this might mean for the layers below. I mean, domestically, we've seen this with footy players varying levels of fame, putting their brain and body on the line for a payday. I mean, the top of the ecosystem, this fight, it's going to influence the rest of it. Is that a bit of a worry?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that this has always been the concern with the footy fighters that have come in, and how much that has really sort of permeated the ecosystem, as you've said, because it is a good payday. Boxing has its detractors, and they're quite justified in detracting from the sport and how dangerous it is. And yet it remains incredibly popular. And as someone who has covered boxing, watched boxing a lot over the years, there is a visceral thrill in seeing two men mano a mano going at it in the ring with nothing but their wits and their fists to defend themselves and to attack with. It remains popular, and it shows in the numbers. There's a gladiatorial aspect to it. It's distasteful at times, but it still exists as a form of entertainment that a lot of people enjoy. The caveat, of course, is that with boxers, they have been training for it for a long time. They build themselves up, and largely, you'd like to think, at least, they know what they're getting into.
But if I can beat Jake Paul, then excuse my French, what the f*** is Anthony Joshua going to do to Jake Paul?
It was Mike Tyson who said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. And when you're in the ring, I will fully admit, I'm not brave enough to go and stand in a boxing ring. You get a situation where people are going to see the money, though, and maybe that's something that's going to really sort of attract them to it. And it's going to become increasingly dangerous the more this is legitimised. And I think that's part of the problem. This is the sort of thing that legitimises it. It's a worry. It's a real concern.
Just finally, we had a version of this conversation last year when Paul fought Tyson. It was a success in many levels. Are we the idiots here? Pearl clutching, monocle shattering wowsers, you know, driving buzz for a dangerous product, basically being the publicity arm.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because as much as, and I will say this till the cows come home, I will watch this and I will sit there and I will enjoy the athleticism and the skill that is demanded from these athletes, you know, almost right up to the point at which someone gets hurt. The sad inevitability is that someone will get hurt. Now, you're right, we did talk about this exact same thing during the build-up to the Mike Tyson fight. Mike Tyson was an absolute frail shadow of himself. And that was hard to watch. It was hard to watch for people who'd seen him in his peak, and it was hard for people to watch based on just what they'd heard about this great, fearsome man, Mike Tyson. I think this is still slightly different. Again, we said you don't play at boxing. This just smacks of someone like Jake Paul, who has been playing at boxing. He has been playing at being a boxer for a long time, and it's a game that he's largely been winning. I don't want this to be the end game, and I don't say that lightly. I just think this could be so bad.
He's someone who's dedicated his life to this. He lives to it. He doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. He's a real clean athlete who is going to inflict some horrendous damage to Jake Paul. And I hope we've got a referee in there who's quite compassionate.
But you're right. Maybe this will come off and it'll be a really fun piece of entertainment for everyone. It will do millions of views on Netflix. Everyone will walk away with no injuries and very, very rich, and everyone will be very happy. I hope that is the case. Yet, I think everyone, and throughout boxing's history, all the sad, sad stories that we've had in boxing, I still think that that's where we're going to end up with this. And yeah, it's a real worry.
Simon Smale, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
No problem, Stacky, anytime.
Headlines. The Ashes build-up is continuing in Perth. England's Jamie Smith and Josh Tung, and Australians Cam Green and Alex Carey spoke to the media in WA. Carey's run-out of Johnny Bairstow was a huge moment in the last series. He's spoken about it a lot over the last year and a half, but it's still being raised.
An Ashes series in Australia is where I made my day and my debut, and yeah, that was some really special time. So hopefully we can replicate that series. I think Greeny took the wicket to win that series in Melbourne, but I'm excited. I don't have any of that baggage, I guess we want to talk about, or whatever it is. I'm just excited to get out there and play again.
A reminder, search ABC Cricket Podcast on the Listen app or wherever you get your pods. Great analysis by Corbin Middlemass and Ed Cowan. Lane Beachley and Oscar Piastri have been honoured as Sports Australia held its annual awards night in Melbourne. The Don Award, which recognises the athlete who, quote, inspired the nation over the last year, went to Piastri, despite the fact the F1 season still has three Grand Prix remaining, and that story feels a little unfinished. Ultimately, I guess it's hard to argue that there's been a bigger tale in Aussie sport than the Victorian's ascension to the top two of the global sport. Beachley was handed the Dawn Award, which recognises an individual who has shown courage or changed a sport for the better. The seven-time world champ has made a massive contribution. contribution to surfing. We're closing in on the AFL draft, which goes down Wednesday and Thursday night, with Willem Dersma expected to be taken first by the West Coast Eagles, joining siblings Xavier, Yasmin and Zane as professional footballers in the same family. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to The Zone, Stomping Ground, Sky News and Boxing Social for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.